Reading from the Jiva Dharma. I think this is the end of chapter 3. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Jnana Timanandrasya Dhananjana Shalakaya. Naksun Mulutam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha. Sri Chaitanya Mano Vishnam Sapitam Yena Bhutale. Sayam Rupakadamayam Vidati Sapadantikam. Vanchakopa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhayevacha. Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sivasade Gaur Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So greetings from the Sun Falls. So, as we remember this Sannyas Thakur, somehow coming to the Gojrum Dweep, where the great saints were in kind of a bhajan mood, practicing their own Krishna consciousness, and there's Goshtananandi and there's Bhajananandi. And basically, Bhajananandi means that one who gets pleasure from his own bhajan. And Goshtananandi means one who gets pleasure from assemblies. Basically means preaching. It's not like it's fixed one or another. Bhajananandi will also do some preaching, and the Goshtananandi will also do some bhajan, but there's a little bit more. These are Bhajananandis. They're very advanced. Premdas Babaji and read the story how this Sannyas Thakur, who is a personalist, somehow or other, by the mercy of Vaishnava, he got the seed of devotion. Some real prema. He got a taste of prema. That's the seed of devotion. A taste of prema. A taste of love. An understanding that bhakti, tvasmin parama prema or rup, that the highest form of that love is to God, and the experience of that is overwhelming. Somehow or other, he comes to Vaishnavism, and we see expertly how Premdas Babaji deals very, very expertly, building up this frame of reference in Krishna consciousness, having him move along the path at the right pace so that he's able to digest and assimilate things and still feel encouraged. It's such a beautiful book on how to come forward in Krishna consciousness. And then Sannyas Thakur gets initiated as Vaishnav Das. And because he had so much spiritual training before, when he comes to Krishna consciousness, he comes at a very advanced level. Not everyone comes to Krishna consciousness at the same level. They start in their previous life somehow by circumstances. Sometimes we get separated. I just have to answer one phone call quickly. I'll be right back. Okay, so this Vaishnav Das now is initiated. He's, he came at a very high level of Gan, and therefore he can approach Krishna with detachment, without karma. And he's already transferred Gan, so it's a Nyabhilashita Shinyam Gana Karma Dhyanam Vritam. His bhakti is not covered by karma. He's already finished karma because he's a Gani. And it's not covered by Gan because he gave up Gan for bhakti. So when this Brahmin singer comes and kind of asks the question of how come the Vaishnavas don't do the Nitya Dharma of the Brahmins, he explains that that's actually Naimittika Dharma. It's temporary, occasional, because it's based on a situation that may change. And the real Nitya Dharma, the real everyday, eternal, forever duty is love of Krishna. That's love of God. And that's what a Vaishnava focuses on. And in that pursuit, he may do some of the duties of Brahma, they may not. Anyway, as we remember, and most of you have been following it, the answer was so profound that the Vaishnavas, when they were listening to this, wonderfully, devotional, scholarly presentation, systematic, deep, realized they were pretty amazed. And the Brahmin, who had these doubts, the seed of faith in Vaishnava Dharma had been significantly nourished by that Sangha. He heard something with realization. And therefore, that was communicated in a way that he can understand and touch his heart. There was a transference of faith by the logic and conviction and devotion of what he was explaining. So he was changed. This Brahmin singer was changed. And that's what happens to people when they hear, according to their own frame of reference, a truth that expands their mind and frame of reference, which is not easy to do. Because the person who does it has to have realization. When they are open to that and let that happen, they develop a faith. And this person was at the frame of reference that the faith that could be built upon his frame of reference was Vaishnavism. So he really becomes humble, and ascribes his humility to the process of Harinam that he's undertaken. So the Harinam had given him some qualification and faith, and that's what Harinam does. It creates faith in people. So that they can hear philosophy. Sometimes people can't hear philosophy. They don't have faith. When they get the faith, the experience of devotion by Harinam, when it's heard in the proper mood, then they become very enlivened. He's very excited. And the guru of Vaishnav Das, Prem Das, Paramahamsa Babaji, So he tells him that actually this person, Vaishnav Das, is very advanced. And he's already heard. Now when he hears the Acharyas say that, this Kali Das, this Brahmin singer, Lahari, he accepts this Vaishnav Das as his guru and asks for his mercy. Of course, Vaishnav Das is very, very humble. He's respecting the other person also as a Brahmin. And it doesn't, you know, the Vaishnav culture, where people are so focused on the soul, which means focused on God and others and not oneself. That's what focused on the soul means. Just like the hand. If the hand is focused on the hand, it's actually focused on the body, because what the hand is the servant of the body. So to focus on the soul is to focus on love, which means to focus on another. So in that kind of consciousness, one doesn't identify with the ego that tells one, I am the center. It's not in their worldview. It's not in their perception. Not like they're standing someplace and from them, their eyes, comes the world around them. No. They're the world of God. They're the world of Guru. So Vaishnav Das just tells him, you bestow your mercy upon me, I'll be successful then. So then, this Lahari Mahasai, he goes back, everybody returns to their places, and he's in this little house owned by this little house with courtyard, just a few rooms. It could hold out. It's just, you know, beautiful little place. And the owner of it is one Babaji named Madhava Das Babaji. And he was known as a very spotless person. He had given up family life to retire. But he was, you know, was kind of impoverished. He was meeting his expenses by renting out this room. But he had some bad habits. And this Lahari Mahasai, who was living at Madhava Das Babaji's place, he was, you know, he was staying up night. He was like contemplating this profound meeting he had with his guru and the effect it had on his consciousness. And then he hears the sound outside, and he sees that this Madhava Das Babaji is talking with a woman, and then the woman disappeared as soon as he saw this Lahari Mahasai. So Madhava Das is caught in an embarrassing position, and Lahari, this Brahmin singer, he asked him, you know, what's going on? And he explains that that woman was his wife from a previous life. And when he left home to take sannyas, to take Babaji, his wife thought, my life is just useless without you, and I'll just live as a beggar myself. And then after a while, she came and took residence. and I would see her, and I tried to avoid her, and she kind of, like, stalked me, he was saying. And then, you know, she lives in an ashram that she built one, and she tries to ruin me. Every night she comes over here, and it's ruined my reputation. And my practice of bhajan, because my mind is so disturbed through the association with her. And therefore, Madhava Das says, I'm a disgrace. And he said, I think I'm the only person since Chota Haridas who deserves this kind of punishment. Of course, Lord Chaitanya, for minor offense of begging some rice from this old woman, Lord Chaitanya, for many reasons, to keep the dignity of the sannyas order and the strictures they had, and that he was banned, and Lord Chaitanya would let him back. So he says, these Babaji's, they're so compassionate to me, they don't have faith in me, but they're kind of not punishing me. So this Lahari, this Lahari Mahasai, he can't sleep, and he decided that this person is fallen from household life, and it's not appropriate for me to stay here, because either I'll become contaminated by his bad association. Association is so powerful in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. It says it's like a crystal ball. The crystal ball reflects anything in its proximity. So we reflect what's in our proximity. And therefore, to deliberately stay in a situation that is so far from one's ideals will affect one. And not only that, my reputation could be ruined. And when my reputation is ruined, then I may not get the instructions that I need. Because the teachers won't have faith in me. It's not just that the student has to have faith in the guru. The guru has to have faith in the student. And according to the level of faith, that's to the degree that the guru can give the disciple knowledge beyond his present ability to perceive it. So without that kind of submission and faith, one cannot advance because he can't learn. So he goes to the ashram and as Vaishnav does, Vaishnav informs Paramahamsa Babaji, and Babaji said he can stay in one little room. So now the ashram is growing. Lavi Mahasai's kutir was adjacent to that of Vaishnav Das. So it was right by side by Vaishnav. A few mango and jackfruit trees stood nearby, and the entire area was adorned with small beetle plants. In the courtyard, there was a large circular platform, which had been there for many years, since the time of Pradyumna Brahmachari. The Vaishnavas had called it the Surabhi Terrace, in which circumambulated, offering dandavat pranams with faith. So, This is the setting where he's living. The evening twilight had just yielded to dusk. Sri Vaishnav Das was sitting in his cottage on a mat of leaves chanting Hari Nam. It was the dark fortnight of the moon, and the night gradually settled into darkness. A lamp was flickering in Lahari, Mahasai's kutir. By its light, he suddenly noticed what appeared to be a snake by his doorway. He quickly adjusted the lamp and took a stick to kill the snake that it had already vanquished. Be careful, he told Vaishnav Das, a snake may have just entered your kutir. Lahari Mahasai, why are you so disturbed about a snake? Replied Vaishnav Das, come and sit inside my kutir and don't be afraid. So Vaishnav Das is going to tell him that if you really want to dedicate yourself to bhajan, you have to be off the bodily platform. Otherwise, as Bhagavad Gita says, nityachara sa-uchite, one is just a pretender. Solitary bhajan is very high souls. They have to be exceptionally detached because they have to dedicate themselves to chanting, so they can't have a kind of an economic base. You know, they have to live so simply, and they have to tolerate. And if you're not that detached, then you can't do it. And you have to be detached to the extent that you're not afraid of snakes. And it's going to be explained why. Because you have complete faith in God, and that God has given you a certain lifespan. That's described also in the Yoga Sutras, that when you're born, there's a certain lifespan, and there's a certain bhoga, certain experiences that you have. And including your death. So if you have realization in the soul, then why should you be afraid? Because God is in the heart of the snake, and he's in the heart of you, and he makes whatever arrangement, either to protect you or to kill you. If Krishna wants to kill you, no one can protect you. If Krishna wants to protect you, no one can kill you. So you have that faith, and therefore you're not disturbed. Living in the jungle, living simply. And that's supposed to be just a basic qualification, preliminary qualification, to be a Brahmin or a sadhu. I've seen in India many times, either from a Brahmin or a sadhu, when a snake is there, they're not afraid. They say, sadhu deke, the snake saw the sadhu. So that's required for this type of life, like the Goswamis. You have to be very, very detached. And that's what a Brahmin is. A Brahmin is detached. They depend on Krishna. They don't have to. In the proper culture, the Brahmin does not have to work. He doesn't have to depend on a paycheck. He depends on God, and by charity he teaches, and if someone gives him or not. That's actually the fact. That's actually the truth. But we don't yet have that realization and faith and experience in God's will. and therefore we still think that our protection is under our control. Prakriti kriyamanani gunai karmani sarvasa hankara buddha kartaham iti manyate. So many things are going on beyond our control. Lahari entered Vaishnav Das Kutir and sat on a mat of leaves. But he felt some mental anxiety about the snake. Oh, great soul, he said. Our Shantipur is good in this respect, for there's no fear of snakes, scorpions, and other creatures there. In Nadia, there's always danger from snakes. It's especially difficult for a fine gentleman to live in a forested area like Godrum. Sri Vaishnav Das Babaji explained, Lahari, Mahasaya, it is senseless to agitate the mind over such matters. You must have heard the story of Maharaj Prickett in the Bhagavatam. He gave up all fear of his impending death by snake bite, and with an unflinching heart drank the nectar of Harikatha from Sukadev's mouth. Thus he tasted supreme transcendental bliss. A snake can never bite the chitta deha, the spiritual body. The only snake that can wound the spiritual body is the snake of separation from the topics of Hari. So Maharaj Prickett said he wanted to be fearless at the time of death. So he became fearless by hearing Hari Katha and experiencing the message of God and experiencing God within that message, and therefore experiencing his soul, which is eternal. And therefore, one becomes fearless. Because what is threatened with non-existence is not the soul, it's the body. And therefore, someone who's self-realized, like Jutta Bhart, when he's being cursed, when he was the palanquin carrier from Maharaj Rahugana, when he's being cursed, you're dumb, you're stupid, you're slow, he said, yes. If you think I am the body, then those appellations are true. But actually, no, I'm not. Therefore, I'm not disturbed in any circumstance. I'm not disturbed when the world doesn't move according to the desires of my body, because I fully realize that I'm not. The material body is not eternal, and one will certainly have to give it up someday. As far as the body is concerned, we should simply perform the karma that is necessary to maintain it and nothing more. Only the duties to maintain it, because you're going to take nirjan, you're going to do bhajan. You can't distract yourself. So just the minimal. Do your part. There's five factors in action. One is the endeavor. So you have to endeavor. But within that endeavor, it's limited to what you can control. You're given the initiative to simply maintain yourself. When the body collapses by the will of Krishna, it cannot be saved by any kind of effort. But until the designated time for the demise of a body has arrived, a snake cannot harm a person even if he's sleeping right next to him. So this takes realization. And here, we'll see how Prabhupada said, Vaishnava, if someone said, oh, Prabhupada, you're such a great Vaishnava. He said, no, Vaishnava is not an ordinary thing. Now, that was his humility. But the statement he made is true. A Vaishnava is not an ordinary thing. It's someone who's realized the soul. Therefore, one may not introduce himself as a Vaishnava until he gets rid of his fear of snakes and all such things. If the mind is agitated by such fears, how will one be able to fix it upon the lotus feet of Srihari? So one should certainly stop being afraid of snakes and trying to kill them out of fear. So this Lahari, Bahasai. And he has some faith, so when he's hearing from his teacher, and he's so highly qualified also, when he's hearing from his teacher, he's assimilating, and he's realizing it, he's kind of seeing it. He's open, he's receptive, he's trusting. And therefore the instructions and knowledge go right in his heart. Lani Mahasai said with some faith, as a result of hearing your words, which are just befitting a sadhu, my heart has become free from all kinds of fear. Now I have understood that one can obtain the highest benefit only when the heart becomes elevated. There's no other benefit but the elevation of heart or consciousness. Someone showed me a picture of some people that won the lottery. Each person won $3, $4, $5 million or something, the whole group. I was studying their faces and the ecstasy. But I know that in 5 years, they may be more miserable. Because happiness is a heart of devotion, of love. Really, we don't have that faith yet. We think also, yes, if I have this money, I will be happy. It will solve my problems. No, the real problem is our consciousness. Many great souls who have engaged, this is still Bahini, Bahasai, many great souls who are engaged in the worship of Bhagavan live in mountain caves, and they are never afraid of wild animals that live there. Rather, out of fear of materialistic association, they have given up living with other human beings, and they live among the wild animals instead. Because there's less effect on their consciousness, because animals do not have free will. So there's really nothing to imitate. Well, you may learn loyalty from a dog, etc., but they don't have free will. Babaji Mahasai said, when Bhakti Devi, the goddess of devotion, makes her appearance in a person's heart, that heart automatically becomes elevated and becomes dear to all jivas. Everyone, devotees and non-devotees alike, feel affection for the Vaishnav. And that is why every human being should become a Vaishnav. So when one becomes elevated, mercy of the devotee, one gets bhakti. And if real bhakti, Devi, appears in the heart, that heart automatically becomes so elevated. And therefore, one's feelings of devotion are not affected by the mind. They're just not affected by the mind. And therefore, in happiness, in distress, in pain, in elation, matras, sparshas, dakonteya, sitoshna, sukha, dukha, da, agama, payano, nityas, tam, tatarsha, parsha, non-permanent appearance of happiness and distress, and the appearance of happiness and distress, their disappearance in due course of time, are like the changing of the summer and winter seasons one should learn to tolerate. So, everyone feels affection for a Vaishnava. Dira, Dira, Chinapriyo, Piyakaro, Namatsaro, Pujita. Dira, Adira, the sober and the ruffians, the gentle and the ruffians. Why? Because there's no envy. And therefore, when you're with someone who has no envy, you have no fears that they're going to exploit or taking away anything that you have. And therefore, when one is really a saintly person, even those who are materialistic, they're not fearful because they know that saintly person doesn't aspire for anything they have. Just go a few more minutes. As soon as Mahari Mahasai heard this, he said, "You've awakened my faith in Nitya Dharma. It seems to me there is a close connection between Nitya Dharma and Vaishnava Dharma. But so far, I've not been able to understand how they're identical." So now we'll get another discourse. He says, "You awaken my faith in this, but I don't see how they're identical with Vaishnava Dharma. So how is Nitya Dharma have to be Vaishnava Dharma?" So that's the question he's going to answer. Okay. I'm going to stop for today just because we're coming to a new section and I'd rather say hello to people or entertain any questions rather than at the end when I'd probably be too fatigued. Anybody like to ask any questions? Okay, can someone please say hello?
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Yeah, Hare Krishna.
Yeah, I do have a couple.
Okay, go ahead.
Whenever you talk about sadhu deke, you know.
Yeah.
It sounds like, well, you know, you're telling the person, don't worry about the snake because the snake has seen a sadhu, therefore he won't harm you.
Right.
But I don't understand how we can say that since, you know, like you said right in this class, you know, if Krishna wants the snake to kill him, he will kill him. If he doesn't, then there's no, you know, it's whatever Krishna wants. So you don't know what Krishna
wants. Well, it's kind of like this. A devotee feels protected by Krishna, right? They feel protected by Krishna. We see that there are devotees that have gotten murdered. So protection means that, yes, Krishna is there, and he will protect his devotees, but in certain cases, he may allow their lives to be taken because that's better for them. So in the same sense, the sadhu and the Brahmin has the faith that God is in the heart of every animal, even the venomous snake. And therefore, Krishna, Namo Brahmanya Devaya, Go Brahmana, Krishna says, the Brahmins are dear to me. So he'll protect. So the snake, seeing, oh, here is a Brahmin, here is a sadhu, then Sarvasya Chaham Hiri Sani Vishto, Matasmitir Ganam Apoanam Chak. Krishna worships the Brahmin, so he will protect them. And he's in the heart of the snake, so he'll dictate that. But we have that faith. Like if somehow there's some place that I was being attacked, I would feel Krishna's protecting me. Right? I wouldn't feel alone, but at the same time, you know, something can happen to me. But I wasn't without protection. Krishna somehow realized that I needed whatever happened to me. So it's the super soul in the heart that's dictating to the soul, even in the snake. This is a Brahmin. They're dear to me. Don't harm them.
But I mean to say that it might be a case where isn't it true that there might be a case where Krishna's protection of the Brahmin comes in the form of his getting bitten by a snake?
Yes, because what protection means, according to Jiva Goswami, the definition is Krishna will do what's best.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't feel you're alone, even there's so many odds, so many people maybe trying to kill you or capture you. You know that Krishna's there. So you're basically expecting that he'll save me in the traditional method, you know, by protecting me from harm. But if he kills me, then there's also some reason.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, I just wanted to confirm that, you know, doesn't necessarily mean.
Yeah.
Okay, then
yeah,
also,
course.
Also, if a person is in the forest, you know, that's infested with snakes, right? And he doesn't yet have the realization.
Yeah.
You know, he might have the intellectual understanding that Krishna is always there, but his faith is not so developed. So for such a person, even since his realization is only on an intellectual level, it becomes his duty, right, to try to protect himself from.
Well, we do protect ourselves because endeavor is one of the factors in action. So we should do our part to protect ourselves if that's our, you know, we're serving Krishna. So we should do our part. But, you know, this is talking about people that are in deep, deep bhajan.
I don't know what that is about.
What's that?
Did you hear the voice?
Anyway, I wasn't listening.
Oh.
But the forgot your question.
Yeah, about the duty of a person who isn't realized to protect himself. To try to protect him.
Well, even the realized person, but first of all, he wouldn't be in the same duty as doing that. It's not his duty in bhajan. Just sit there and chant. He's in the world. Yeah, he'd protect himself. But, you know, without fear. In other words, if he has to be in a place that's threatening, he's there without fear. It doesn't mean that he won't protect himself, but he's without fear because he has that understanding that God is controlling everything, right? And that he has some, you know, like that story of Ramesh Baba when they slept on top of the mountain with Radhanath Swami called Mankuchir. And, you know, the pythons, there were so many dangerous things. So Radhanath Swami, how can you sleep outside? He said, well, Krishna will protect you. So Radhanath Swami went to sleep. When he woke up in the morning, he saw that the Ramesh Baba had like a stick. And then he saw that Ramesh Baba had a stick. That he had a stick. So he asked him, I thought you said that we should have faith that Krishna will protect you. He saw him having a little stick. He said, yeah, but we have to do our part. Yep. Kelly, are you there? Okay, anybody else like to say hello?
Hare Krishna Guru Maharaj, this is Braj Radhe.
Hi, Bob.
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Who's that?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, it's Monica.
Oh, Monica, okay.
Hello.
We will see you soon. Yeah, I got
yes.
your letter. Yeah,
great.
Fine. We'll try to we'll talk at the retreat, and you know we'll see, you know, if
okay.
we can make some you know arrangement or what. I may be going on Monday or something. We'll work it out. We'll figure
okay.
it all out. We'll just okay. Looking forward to seeing you.
Yeah, me too. I just wanted
okay.
to say that I really like the concept of. Fearlessness, and well, just because I feel like when you're afraid, it's just a sign that your faith isn't strong enough, and so I just feel like personally that changed me, so I liked that idea of as you cultivate your faith, your fearlessness grows.
Yeah.
But just about everything in life, because you just feel that ultimately.
Yeah, our whole life is actually about becoming fearless. Which
right.
means basically to actually see what's actually there and get beyond the illusions. And to
mm-hmm.
actually have that experience and trust that God is there, you know, to have that deep trust that God is there. You know, it's so, you know, it's the experience of our life as we go through the world moving in ways that are apparently difficult and trusting that somehow God's behind it. And then in time experiencing that God was behind it by understanding the fruits of realizations that we gather that were invaluable from the difficulties that we went through. After living
mm-hmm.
a life like that, we develop this trust. And that trust comes to the point where when we have to leave this body, which is means
mm-hmm.
leaving everything we're attached to, we see God and we feel God and we're confident in it. So,
mm-hmm.
yes, I it's true. It is a beautiful realization, you know, but it's something that really is work that we have to work on. You know, it's
mm-hmm.
not that we can just do it intellectually, but that we actually, and I had my own experience when I was going through some of the greatest difficulties in my life where the world was moving so rapidly against
mm-hmm.
my desires, you know, and that's what trauma is. That's what tragedy is. That's what calamity is, where the world
mm-hmm.
moves rapidly against our desires. And then what I saw is I took shelter in the holy name and I was just chanting all day.
Mm-hmm.
And then I kind of had this realization that what I'm doing now, which is an expression of devotion, is the activity of the real me. And it's the activity, and that real me, it doesn't end with the body. The
mm-hmm.
real me, while
mm-hmm.
all these other activities that were based on the ego, the anxieties, the fears, the ambitions, and all the things I'm worried about, weren't, you know, that's what, they fortified the false concept of life and therefore put me in a state of fearfulness. So I
mm-hmm.
actually got a little taste at that time, a little taste, you know,
mm-hmm.
of how the spiritual process makes us fearless.
Yeah, it's very powerful. It's very powerful that fear can be a catalyst for faith. To grow your faith and to cultivate it. Thank you.
What a life challenge. Okay. Well, thank you. I'm looking forward to seeing you. You know, we'll be there when you come. Okay.
Great. Great. Thanks, Maharaj.
Wonderful. Rajarade, how was your retreat in Gitanagari, if you're still there?
It was wonderful, Maharaj. Actually, we sat in the yajna finally.
You what?
We sat in the yajna ceremony.
Really? Really?
Yes, Maharaj.
How did that happen? How did that happen?
Somehow by Krishna's mercy.
Who said to you, come sit in the yajna?
Devakinandan Prabhu from our congregation, he asked Yugalakishore Prabhu who arranged the...
For those of you that are puzzled, last Thursday, I drove down from here and I met Rajarade and Govardhan Bhakta at the Revol's house and before the deities, which I gifted them, a brother of the Sun Bihari and their Panchatattva. They got the Gayatri mantras, different mantras, and then we had a little prasad at the restaurant. Then they went to Gitanagari after that. Okay. Anybody else like to say hello? Okay, thank you. Vanchakalpa through this Jacobus and the Vijay Vijay.